character series messages here. I need to move this so I don't run over. That one, if I use that, as I possibly might. There's a lot of characters in the Bible that we often don't think about, and today's is no different. And you might think, well, how in the world can you come up with a message on this character? Because there's not much said about him. But if you turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, we'll read about him. We'll see who that is. Actually, we have to go back all the way to chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 75 years, and he became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's a message in itself, too, but not today's. Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. I got to thinking about this. And the character today we're going to talk about is Methuselah. That's it. Not much is talked about him here, is there? But I got to thinking about this because our beloved brother Pat died not too long ago, passed away from this earth not too long ago, a few weeks ago, did he not? How old was Pat? 66, about 66. Okay, so he was 66. Debbie and I, and some of you know that there's a guy in the hospital over in Northwest Hospital here that we've become acquainted with. Some of you met him last Sunday. He appeared up here. He's only 62, and he's dying. He's having a hard time facing up with that. He's asked us to pray for him. The odd thing is, and I told him I will not pray for that, but I will pray for him. He asked us to pray that the Lord would let him live through the baseball season. What his mind is on right now is material things. Should be here. Spiritual things. But many people's minds are on material things, are on earthly things. 62 years he's dying. As I said last week, and as I said in Pat's message, God does not promise us, nowhere in the scriptures can you read, that God promises us tomorrow, does he? Cite me a verse where God says he promised us tomorrow? Doesn't. If you do those things, you live long. But that's a promise. But he's not promising tomorrow. He says, he does promise today, though, doesn't he? When the apostles came to Jesus and they asked him to pray, to teach him to pray, how did Jesus begin that? He says, start your day out this way. Our Father who art in heaven. Give us what? Give us this day. Jesus didn't say, give us tomorrow. Give us the future. Jesus said, give us this day. Not live in the past, but also not live in the future. In our country and in the world, but specifically in our country, we've had a problem with thinking just about dealing with the past, yes. But just thinking about today, but more and more focused on the future, on progress, you know. As long as we progress, we're doing okay. I'm reading a book right now, and it's an old book written back in the early 2000s. I think about 2007, 2008. It's called Margin. It's about restoring the emotional, physical, financial, and time resources to overloaded lives. And what Dr. Swinson talks about there in this book, and I'm not fitting through with it yet, but I'll share with you some of the things, is that what we are lacking in society today, what we are, our people are lacking, is margin. What he means by margin is this, is that there is a, let me just read you what he says here. Because this all has to do with Methuselah now. He said, despite its timeliness, few people are aware of the concept of margin. Not that the concept is inconsequential. Indeed, it is compellingly important. Nor is the concept difficult to understand, he says. He says, although some people seem capable of thriving without margin, most of us find it prerequisite for well-being. Margin grants freedom and permits rest. It nourishes both relationship and service. Spiritually, it allows availability for the purposes of God. From a medical point of view, it is health enhancing. It is a welcome addition to our health formulary. Add a dose of margin and see if life doesn't come alive once again. And this is how he defines it. And I tend to agree with him. He says, margin is the space between our load and our limits. It is the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. It is something held in reserve for contingencies or unanticipated situations. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. And then he says this. He's right on the money. Nobody can keep running on empty. There was a song years ago done by Jackson Brown called that, Running on Empty. Maybe think of that. It said, nobody can keep running on empty. Let's stay busy to be sure. But together let's also develop the necessary theological underpinnings for margin that will allow us to accept its importance without guilt. For just as we need to eat and sleep, so we also need to breathe. And I'll come back to that in a minute. Methuselah. The scriptures tell us that Methuselah was a... Can you get this? Can you imagine that, ladies, having a baby? Your wife? Guys, your wife having a baby this old? You talk about Abraham and Sarah now. We're talking about Methuselah. When Methuselah's son Lamech was born, you know how old he was? Get this. 187. Isn't that amazing? Ladies, would y'all like to have a baby at 187? Jesus says. He lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech. But he was 187 when he had Lamech. And he had other sons and daughters besides it after that. Now, Lamech was 182 years old, if you read on down there. Lamech was 182 years old when his son Noah was born. And that Noah, the Noah of the ark, that Noah was 600 years old. What it says, the scripture says that Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. Long time, isn't it? When the flood overcame the world and everything in it. Except for Noah and his family, of course. So if you add those figures together, you come up with exactly what the Lord says here. In verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 27. 902 Methuselah. The oldest man on record, according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, Methuselah lived 969 years. As far as the scripture tells him, he was the oldest one on record. Those are the years attributed to Methuselah. Thus, it appears that Methuselah died right before the flood. Not during the flood, but right before the flood came. It would also appear from reading this little short little text that Methuselah's only claim to fame was the fact that he lived 969 years. That's close to 1,000, isn't it? Can you imagine that? And that's the only thing we really know about him, what is told. And that's what people tout. Oh, man, the oldest guy in the Bible, Methuselah, he lived 969 years. Wouldn't you love to live 969 years? What a long life. However, just from this fact alone, there are several things that we can learn from Methuselah that I believe will enrich our lives. Do you know what Methuselah means? In Hebrew, it can be one of two things. I told you, in the scriptures, names mean things. And often they mean very important things. Methuselah means this. One of the meanings, I'd say. When he dies, judgment. When he dies, judgment. Or it can also mean when he dies, shall be sent. What shall be sent? That's what Methuselah, that's what his name means. What a long life, huh? 969 years, right before the flood. Methuselah. When he dies, he should be sent. What should be sent? God's judgment. Or when he dies, judgment. I think there's significance in that. I really do. So it's quite a character here that we find in the scriptures. Remember what Peter says about him? I think it's 1 Peter. Not about Methuselah, but what it says about that time period. Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. That would also include his father, Methuselah. Lamech. Lamech and Methuselah. His granddaddy was still living there during that time. Waiting, kept waiting in the days of Noah. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives. Eight. But before that, God's waiting in patience. And Methuselah. After he died, oldest man on record who lived, after he died, the flood came. Judgment. See, many people don't think about that as far as Methuselah and what his name means. I would dare say that many people, no, not all, probably not us here, but many people want to live a long time. Do you know that? Did you know that there's two gentlemen out there in the world? You probably haven't heard of them, but I'll give you their names. You can look them up. And they talk about this. Ray Kurzweil and Terry Grossman. Engineers and scientists. And what they state is this. Is they believe in their lifetime now. Now, they're nowhere near Methuselah's age, let alone 100. But they're still living. And they do these wonderful things on YouTube and that. You can look it up. These talks that they believe that biotechnology will solve aging. So you won't need to die. They firmly believe that through biotechnology, they will overcome death. They believe they will not die. Because it will be overcome. What you all think about that? But many people are concerned about that. They're obsessed with it. And these two guys, they are obsessed with it. They're going to conquer aging. So they can even live longer than Methuselah. They'll never die. Well, I think we all have news for them that one day they will. And many people think they never will. Do you think Brother Pat knew that he was going to have a massive heart attack? I don't think he did. Huh. But what about those people who they know that they're dying, but they can't come face to face with it? And they don't want to. Because they're scared of the outcome. You see, the scriptures do say that death is the ultimate enemy. But many people, they want to avoid it at all costs. Do all that they can so that they won't. But we all know they can't keep him down, can they? What's that, Jeff? Judgment. Exactly. But I think it is true that the person who has the most to live for, and praise be to God, it should be us as Christians, the person who has the most to live for fears death least. Do you think Methuselah, after 969 years and this, do you think he feared death? I don't think so. I think those who were godly people back in those times didn't. But here's what I want to get across from Methuselah and to us today and in the church, and how this can enrich our lives. Long life. I was thinking about this because I listened to this guy, Ray Kurzweil, talk about how biotechnology is going to solve aging. He's never going to die. And he'll make sure, and this Terry Grossman guy, they'll make sure that once it's solved, of course, once biotechnology solves it, no one else will die. And they're not going to die. But I really believe, brothers and sisters, that long life, even though we look at Methuselah and how long he lived, all that scripture tells us, long life should not be of paramount consideration. But to many people it is. And I don't know about you. But we should welcome death. Death is the ultimate enemy, yes. But we should welcome death. Why? Oh, yes. None of us have experienced it, of course. We wouldn't be here, would we? But to us, it's the unknown. As I said in my remarks of Pat's, it becomes a fear because it's an unknown. Paul said in Corinthians, I forget exactly where it's at. I think it's in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Maybe someone can bring that to my mind and in our mind. But Paul says that right now we see in a glass darkly. We don't see clear. I think it's in what's that? 1 Corinthians, Dave? If you can find that, read that for us. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Now I know in part, but then I still know just as I am. We see in the glass darkly. Paul said, see, all in our life right now, we can perceive and we can understand and we can see some things clearly, but there are some things that we can't see as clearly. It's like we're looking at a glass window and it's dark. You know, like some of those cars that they drive around, especially a lot of them that are black, that the windows, they got the windows black in it, and you can't see in, but they can see out. That's what Paul is saying. And that's what Paul is saying about life. Our future, we don't know what it is, what it's going to be. Contrary to what those who want to do and to solve it all, which I don't believe they ever will, do you? They can try. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 1:21, I never forget this verse because one of my best friends in Bible college, Mark Upchurch, used to wear a jacket that had it printed on the back. It said Philippians 1:21. Either way, I win. You read that verse? That's not what it says, but that's what his jacket said. Philippians 1:21, either way, I win. Either way, we win. Paul said, whether I go now or I go later, I gain. I win for the Lord. That's basically what he says in Philippians 1:21. So, if long life is not to be a paramount consideration, and we need that, what is called, what Dr. Swenson called margin, what it should make us think about is how useful I can be for the Lord while I'm here, while I'm on earth. What am I doing with my life now? Not in the future, not being absorbed by that, but now. How can I be useful for him now? It's not how long we live that is most important. Methuselah. Nobody ever thinks about this guy, do they? The only time he's mentioned is that he's the oldest guy in the Bible. That's it. As I said, I think his name is important. But living a long life is not. What's the most important? Remember some of the old commercials you used to see? Oh, you got to grab gusto in the life with gusto with all you can. You only go around once in life, right? So get all you can. What's that?
Bull by the horns.
Yeah. Like Dave said, take bull by the horns. Because you only have one life. But we know what the scripture says, and what Jesus said about those who think they can accumulate and accumulate and get and get and get. And then what Jesus say? Tonight your life is required by God. So you build all these things, get all these things, and your life is gone. So what do you do with it in the meantime, see? Life is more than that. Life should be more, and what the scripture teaches should be more than eat, drink, and be merry. That's what Jesus talked about. You know, the parable of the guy who built the barns. And that's what he said. Hey, I'm going to take it easy now. I got so much I don't even know what to do with, and so now I'm just going to take it easy. And I've got it made. And Jesus said, "Ah, fool, you're going to die." What he said. That makes me think of Belshazzar. Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. What he saw. He thought life was all great. Eat, drink, be merry. Look what I've got of God's. And bring some of those drinking utensils in. And those vessels from Jerusalem's temple, and we'll drink from those, and we'll have fun. And mock. You know what they were doing? They were mocking God. And a hand appears and says, "Many, many tekel a parson." Nobody could tell them what that meant. But then they called old Daniel in. Hey, there's one guy who knows what that means. He'll tell you. So they bring old Daniel in. By that time, Daniel's an old man. They bring Daniel in. Daniel says, takes one look at it and tells them, "It means you have been found in the balances wanting. It means your life is forfeit." And that very night, his life was gone. Oh, because they eat and the drink can be merry. So, life, long life, is not a paramount consideration. Neither should it be, contrary to what Ray Kurzweil and those other guys are propounding. But here's the second thing we've learned from Methuselah. And this is what I want us to say. Second thing I want us to learn from him. And that long life, what a long life it was. There's a teaching that is going around about and has been for a number of years that we live in a multiverse. You know, our world, there's another world just out there in the universe somewhere, just like ours. See? We live in a multiverse. Well, I don't believe in that either. But what I want to say is, see, there's more than just one dimension. And with that, I will agree. Life has more than one dimension. There's too many lives, too many people out there whose lives have only one. You know what that is? Me, myself, and I. And thus I want to live a long life. The length of it, that's their dimension. Get all I can out of life and as long as I can. And then what happens? Well, it happens. I was thinking about that in relationship to, now, I don't know much, a whole lot about music nowadays, but I was reading this book about the postmodern world, and I was thinking about that in relationship to this. There was a rock group years ago, back in the late 70s and early 80s, named Supertramp, of all things, British group. It came out with a song called The Logical Song. Listen to the, you know, if you heard the song, you would probably start singing it because it was very popular. But you really listen to the lyrics. A lot of songs really teach us things. This one says, The Logical Song. When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful. A miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. Remember those words? Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, well, they'd be singing so happily. Oh, joyfully, oh, playfully, watching me. But then they sent me away to teach me how to be sensible, logical, oh, reasonable, practical. And then they showed me a world where I could be so dependable, oh, clinical, oh, intellectual, cynical. At night when all the world's asleep, the questions run too deep for such a simple man. Won't you please tell me what we've learned? I know it sounds absurd. Please tell me who I am. Most people, what they remember about that song is the little chorus of the ditty. And that was a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. The birds singing in the trees, joyfully, oh, playfully watching me. But then they sent me away to school to teach me how to be sensible, logical, and reasonable, practical. And the song goes on like that. But I think that's often what's missed in that song is this. Won't you please tell me what we've learned? I know it sounds absurd. Please tell me who I am. Life has more than one dimension. The song was saying they're not sure what that dimension is. There's another one. It's by the rock group called Talking Heads. The song was Road to Nowhere. And in that song, this is what they sing. Well, we don't know where we're going, and we don't know where we've been. Many people are in that place today. Methuselah, 969 years. Did he know where he was going? Did he know where he was been? Not sure. Scriptures don't tell us. Only tells us he lived 969 years. But that's in the Talking Head song, Road to Nowhere. Well, we don't know where we're going and we don't know where we've been. And the postmodern generation would add this. And we don't like where we've been either. And many people feel that today. One more. And I'll close with this. With the song part. Ever heard of the pop group Wang Chung? Everybody have fun tonight. Stuart does. This is what they suggest in one song. on the edge of oblivion, and all the world is Babylon, and all the love, and everyone's a ship of fools sailing on. So everybody have fun tonight, because we're on that ship of fools sail on, and we're in the midst of Babylon. Many people can look at that and see that that's the case today. But what I maintain, and what one of the same thing that Methuselah can teach us, is that life should not only just have one dimension that is linked. Many people, yes, time is linear. There's a beginning point and there's an ending point. We were born and we're going to die. That's seeing life linked in one dimension, in one way, as linear. However, I believe that we also need to see the breath of life. And what is that? Well, the breath of life is what we do with our lives for others, extending that to others. And I believe that that part of life, and what Methuselah teaches us here, that breath of life should be broad and rich, and that we need to look like Dave and his wife have done. The opportunities out there. The opportunity to serve others and the opportunities to serve God. And to enlarge our vision. Methuselah had 969 years to do that. Maybe we could pray that God will give us that long, so that we can enlarge our vision that long. But I don't think so. But then there also needs to be, not only the length and the breadth, there needs to be the depth. Where does the depth come from? The depth comes from within us. That's that transformation and why that's so important. What Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's the depth, people. And that's what God wants. And that lies within us. One of my favorite, and Debbie's too as well, one of our favorite creatures that God has created is the eagle. Can you imagine the eagle way up there in the sky? And he's just floating around, and he's looking over God's creation. And did you know an eagle? I preached about this with about the 12 spies. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Did you know that an eagle can be miles up in the sky? As much as 10 miles up in the sky, you know that? And that eagle, what they say, if that eagle can see from that high up, he can see as little as a dime on the ground and dive down and get that. So you imagine how high up an eagle is and they can see their prey. They come down and get it. That's the depth. And that must... What we must do, brothers and sisters, is dig deep enough down within us so we get that transformation, that depth that lies within us, and we use it for what? We use it for the glory of God. That's what he wants us to do. And then I would say that another dimension, part of that dimension, of more than dimension, is our imagination. Oh, not like what the TV shows up and what the radio says about the Washington State Lottery. Not that. Not at all. But to really think about our life, imagine that when we're gone, we have a tombstone, and there's an epitaph on that, a saying. Imagine and think, how would we want to best be remembered? think that's part of the thing that we should look at there. See? Methuselah, what a long life. 969 years. What he did with it, we don't know, do we? Churches don't tell us. But you and I, we have a choice in what we do with our life, do we not? And the ultimate choice that every person makes, and one of the things I'm trying to get through to this gentleman, is the ultimate choice that one has to make is, who are you going to surrender your life to? Are you going to surrender it to God? Put it in his hands? Or are you going to keep hanging on to yourself and your things? Because, brother and sister, material things, we're not going to take those with us when we die, are we? Many people think so. I've heard of people being, you know, buried with their... Get this, it's not false either. This is not a falsehood. I've even heard of people actually having their favorite pet, they know they're dying, having their favorite pet killed, euthanized, to be put in the casket with them so that they will have companionship on their journey, as well as other things, you see. But that's not important things, is it? But, as Jeff said, and what Methuselah's name means, death, and when you die, for those who are outside of Christ, comes judgment. But for those of us who are in Christ, that judgment's already been, has it not? We are in Christ. We don't have to fear the judgment. People who are outside of Christ, when they die, they have something to fear. We have nothing to fear. Why? Because we surrender all. Let's stand, we're going to sing that song, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. Everything I give to him. So many people aren't ready or willing to do that. Praise be to God we have.